Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
We talk about this problem here all the time, particularly in the recent school board elections, right? What's going on in our schools? What is DEI? What is CRT? It reduces individuals and defines them by their race, their ethnicity, their sexual identity. We got kids being indoctrinated into these radical ideologies, and you feel like you've lost control. And then maybe you have to ask yourself every once in a while, how did this happen? How did we get to where we are right now? And I want to introduce my next guest. Catherine Gorka is with us. She's the author of a new book called Next Gen Marxism, What It Is and How to Combat It, along with Mike Gonzalez. And Catherine, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you for giving us some time. I know you used to work at Heritage. Did you work there with Mike?
Yeah, exactly. That's how we got to know each other.
That's awesome. I've had him on the show before, too, in the past. I think we all probably have our own ideas about what Marxism is and what it isn't. Why next-gen Marxism? What do people need to know about what's going on in the world?
Well, it's exactly what you identified in your introduction. It's the fact that they seem to have put our children on the front line in their culture war. So as you know, Marxism is really, I think the most important thing about Marxism is really that it's a worldview that divides the world into two and says there are two sides and they cannot reconcile their differences. One will have to destroy the other, right? That's the fundamental of aspect of Marxism. And what we're seeing today, in Marxism's day, as well as in Lenin's, the two sides were the workers on the one hand, and then the sort of the owners of the businesses or the bourgeoisie on the other hand. Well, that's no longer the case, right? Today, we know it's sort of white heterosexuals on the one hand, and then almost everybody else on the other.
Yeah.
They've created this victim class made up of, anybody of a non-white ethnicity or anybody of a non-heterosexual sexual orientation. And their argument is, we cannot solve our differences. We cannot work together for a better world. But they want to destroy us, and they won't stop until they do.
It seems like they're teaching these kids about this at such a crazy young age. In your research, what did you find as far as the ways that they're going about kind of infiltrating this into even school curriculum and the way they teach kids?
Yeah, it's coming in, you're right, at an incredibly early age. I mean, we've all seen the stories of, the truly pornographic books that are going into libraries and into schools at ridiculous ages. The fact that they're teaching kids to explore their gender and their sexual orientation, honestly, even in like kindergarten and up into those early grades, it's crazy. But I think what's equally disturbing is the way they're infusing this into the most traditional classes like English and math. They're trying to infuse this cultural indoctrination. They're putting in, you know, discussions about racism and anti-Americanism and colonialism and supremacy and victimhood into all grades and all subjects.
You know, I've wondered about this for a long time, that the 1960s kind of radicals, the ones that of course, the offspring of that was a Barack Obama, somebody that was kind of raised by people who were in that 1960s radical class. Are they the ones? I mean, they've moved on to become college presidents and journalists and all of this stuff. Have they just taken this and kind of transformed it and helped put this in place?
Yeah, I would say 100%. I mean, that's what we found in doing the research. The linchpin is really the 1960s radicals. So, you know, the way they kind of got started, there was a real turning point, I would say, in the late 1950s, where there was a shift from thinking about, you know, Marxism, communism in the traditional sense, right, where the revolution was focused on the worker. In the late 1950s, there was a real change to what was called the New Left. And that the belief was students and intellectuals would be the new revolutionaries, you know, along with blacks who were victimized. Right. And it's really interesting because you had such radicalization going on throughout the 60s, and that you get to the end of the 60s and they realize their revolution had failed. So those student radicals kind of went one of three directions. Some went even more radical, right, into the Weather Underground, which was a very active terrorist organization. Some went fully into organizing, and you mentioned Obama. So one of the groups that was formed was something called the Midwest, the Midwest Academy, starting around 1969, using Saul Alinsky's methods. They started training people. They're still at it 50 years later. They trained Barack Obama, right? And then you had a third group that went into the universities and really started working to transform the universities. And yes, these are the seeds of what we are seeing today.
In your book, I was reading about it on Amazon, and it talks about how you say the best days for the U.S. are still ahead of us. And I have to be honest, I want to be hopeful, but it just feels like we're spiraling. What are you seeing? Why do you say that the best days are still ahead?
Look, I'm a fighter. I am not going to sort of give up here. If I don't hold on to my optimism, I think I would die from despair, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it's not an unfounded optimism. I'd say it's two things. One is when I was at the Heritage Foundation, I had the really good fortune of getting involved very early on with these parent groups that started popping up all over the country to take back their children's education. You know, I know you see some of it in the news, like Moms for Liberty, Moms for America, Parents Defending Education. But I'm telling you, it goes so much deeper than that. There are thousands of groups all over the country that are fighting to regain control of this situation and regain control of their kids' education. That makes me hopeful. And then I have to say the other thing is, I think it's my own activism. Like when I wrote the book, I said, you know, I'm not just going to treat this as an intellectual exercise. And I myself have gotten really involved. So I was actually just elected as the chairman of the Fairfax County GOP. And in the course of running for that position, I was so encouraged by the hundreds of people that I met who are completely fed up and ready to do what it takes to fight back. Like, I think people have kind of reached the point where the time for being timid or the time for being afraid is past, and it's time to just, we got to go all out to fight for our country. That makes me hopeful.
I love that. Catherine Gorka, the book is called Next Gen Marxism, What It Is and How to Combat It. You can find it on Amazon or wherever you buy your books. You know, I mentioned earlier when I was teasing the fact that you'd be on that I met your husband. I've had him on the show a few times, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. You guys combined are a great force for good. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for saying that. Yeah, well, he taught me a lot of what I know. And I have to say, you know, for a long time, when I first knew him, when we were first married, I was kind of your typical like very polite, waspy, you know, American, not really willing to engage in these fights. And, you know, over time, I've really changed. And I'll tell you, part of what changed me was being an appointee in the Trump administration. I served on his transition team and then went into the Department of Homeland Security. And when I experienced firsthand not just the insane attacks on the administration from the left, but from inside. I mean, two of the people that I worked with closely turned out to be part of the Lincoln Project,
wow,
which, as you know, set out, they were alleged Republicans who set out to subvert the Trump administration. So, you know, all those combined experiences sort of make you a fighter.
Well, thank you for what you do. Catherine Gorka, we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Next Gen Marxism, the title of the book, and I'm going to have to get that and read it on my upcoming vacation.
And I can totally relate to that, where you were kind of too scared to speak out, and now it's like, all right, let's go.
Yeah,
well, I'm ready. Yeah, we're on the battleship.
She's a fighter. That's great. I'm glad she's involved in the fight, no doubt about it.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.